you're in the sun and need a little bit of shade, there are a few chairs up here. And don't be embarrassed about moving around and preventing that sunburn if you have a problem with that, like I do sometimes. And thank you for coming. Thank you to everybody who helped make this possible, committee who set everything up, cooks who were making macaroni salad at 7 a.m. and coffee, getting the donuts ready, and all those good things. And how many here are of an English, Irish, or Scottish background? Raise your hand. Whoa! I'm picking on the wrong crowd today with this next illustration. There's a story of an Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman who were trying to get into the Beijing Olympics, and they didn't have a ticket to get into the stadium. And so they had to be creative. There was a construction site nearby, and the Englishman said, I know what I could do. I'm going to get some scaffolding over here. It's taken apart. I'm going to get the pole. He gets the pole, goes to the gate of the stadium and says, Tommy Smith, England, pole vaulting. They said, come on in. Okay, you're in. And the Irishman says, I could do that. He gets a manhole cover, picks it up, goes to the front gate and says, J. O'Leary, Ireland, discus. Come on in, you're in. Okay, so the Scotsman, he says, I can do that too. He gets a big roll of barbed wire, comes to the front gate and says, John McDougall, Scotland, fencing. And he didn't get in. That's a problem. But how do you get in on something that's very important? We all want to do that. How do you be a good neighbor? How can you say thanks to God for being a good neighbor to you, since he lives in your neighborhood? And how do you get in on a life where Christ is number one in your life? I think that's a worthwhile question to ask yourself. How do you get in on that? What happens? Because we all start off with the Lord not being number one in our life. There's an old rock song that says, welcome to your life. Everybody wants to rule the world. Okay, and that's where we're at in our own lives. Want to do things my own way. Maybe I'll consider my family, maybe my neighbor, maybe not. And the Bible calls that when we live like that, apart from others and apart from God, the Bible calls that sin. And we, all of us have that problem. So we need God to come in on us. In fact, God's word says, we go astray. Each one turns to his own way. That's like a lifestyle for us. It becomes a magnet kind of thing. And I do what seems right to me, but in the end, it leads to nowhere. That's an admission that it's good for us to make. Good for us to hit that wall in our lives. And our biggest problem, and at any moment, is really sin in our lives. You know, not being at peace with God, that starts to affect our other relationships, and they become broken. But any time there's a sin, any time trying to go our own way, it really is a great opportunity for forgiveness and a change of direction. Boy, you think, you know, is there something in your life you'd really like to change direction on? Christ would come and help you with that. He'd be the good neighbor for you. In fact, there was a time he told his disciples, they were all ready to hit the road on him. He said, I have called you my friends. He said that before their last meal together. And he kind of knew they were going to scat on him. But the Bible compares us with sheep, and it compares meeting God or having that time where Christ becomes number one with a shepherd having 100 sheep and going after one who is like the people in the skit here. They felt outside of it. Okay, not close to God, wandered off for whatever reason. I remember wandering off in seventh grade, first day of school, might have told this to the other group inside. I got lost. I was in a new school district, got lost in school, missed the bus, had to walk home 3 miles, which was long for a seventh grader. My brother knew the way. He knew where the bus was. He waited for me. Come on, let's walk home together. He didn't, you know, harp on me all the way home. That was great. And that's what the Lord does for us. He comes looking for us when we feel lost or out of it. And did you ever have a situation with a neighbor where you didn't talk to the neighbor for a while? You were kind of miffed at him or something? Or a family member? We've all had that happen. And doesn't that give you a bad feeling in your stomach? It's like, man, I'd like for that to be right. I'd like for it to be okay. And I think inside we feel that way about the Lord if we're not at peace with Him. And you know what? He feels that way about us when we're not at peace with Him. He has that funny feeling in his heart. It's like a grief thing. He says, I want to be connected with those loved ones. But we wander off for whatever reason. You say, I live for me, my job, my accomplishments, or sometimes even the pain I'm in, I can't get through. I can't get over. I'm going to tell you a story about three men who met Christ in the midst of success and pain of everyday life. Okay, three true stories. They're all from the sports world. If you can't relate to sports, just think they're involved in the work world just like anybody else. Okay, so that's their work, that's their calling. First guy's name is Aaron Smith, plays for the Steelers. After the Super Bowl, he was asked, how's it feel to win the Super Bowl? And he says, boy, it's good to be with the guys. I like that very much. The ring is nice. But more than that, I'm learning that God is faithful. That was the biggest thing that hit him for the Super Bowl year. God is faithful. The reason he said that was he has a son, a 5- or 6-year-old son, who's fighting leukemia. You know, the child's health is really under threat. And so he's learning that God's there for his family, for his son, hoping his son, you know, gets better, gets some health, or is able to walk through that time. And that's what means most to him. It can mean most to you if you're, you know, you have a loved one going through a tough time, or you yourself are going through a tough time physically. Boy, for Aaron Smith, rather have God's help for his son than 100 Super Bowl wins, no doubt about it. But he finds help in God. He feels like God comes and helps him. Second guy, Ryan Clark, also plays for the Steelers. In 2007, he injured his spleen in a football game. He also has sickle cell anemia, which acted up because of the injury to his spleen. So he spent time in a hospital, was in critical condition for a number of weeks, and almost died. And so he was asked, well, how's it feel to win the Super Bowl after all that? He said, hey, you know what? I'm just glad to be here. Just glad to be here. He found God's help in the midst of his pain or his success. Oh, bigger than his pain or his success was Christ for him. And he could be the shepherd for you in the trials you have or in the success you're trying to juggle. Oh, I never knew, you know, life could be this good. Maybe that's where you're at. Probably more of a trial thing you might be going through. Last guy, Norm Evans, had the perfect job and accomplished the perfect year in his line of work. Once again, it had to do with sports things. He worked for the Miami Dolphins, and he was an all-pro offensive tackle. His group or his team went undefeated in the early 70s. 17 wins, no losses. Okay, you imagine working for a company where everybody said, no company ever did what you did before. I mean, you are at the top of the top, and since then, nobody's ever done as well as you did before. You'd feel pretty good about that. He was asked after the Super Bowl, how do you feel about winning the Super Bowl? And after accomplishing things personally and as a team, as a group, he said, you know what? I feel deflated. I feel empty. And I'm starting to ask myself, is this all there is to life? Scratching and climbing my way to the top. And when I get to the top, it's not so great up here. So that's where he was. He felt like God had to come and find him because he felt lost in his soul. And God has wired us not just for success on our job or getting through the next pain we have, but God has really wired us to walk through life and into eternity with himself. That's really how we are built. And he will come and find us, whatever our troubles or whatever our success are. When the choir was singing, I was just watching some of those choir members, you know, and I'll leave their names anonymous. One of them had a child in the hospital yesterday. Several of them lost loved ones fairly recently. Another one has a son who's headed to Afghanistan to fight for our nation. Another one has a son who's looking for a job, recently out of work. Okay, that's real life problems and real people who say, to walk through life, I'm going to walk with God. But they're, you know, and some of them were singing, because they really believed it. And some of them were saying because they were asking God, Lord, I need help to believe this. That might be where you're at. Lord, I need help to believe this. He'll help you. He'll come and find you. When I was thinking about God seriously for the first time, I have to say, I was not searching for Him. I wonder if there's a God. I wonder if I should turn to Him. I was in my house. My brother was given a Bible by his girlfriend. I start snooping around his room because his room had the stereo. So I wanted to mess with his music. I see this now. His girlfriend giving that. I wonder if I can get some tips on, you know, dealing with gals from whatever that book says. I started reading the book. Didn't have much about dealing with gals initially. But I start, this sounds good. This sounds true in the Bible. A couple months later, I'm flipping through the TV on a Saturday night. I want to see something fun, relaxing. Billy Graham's on. He's not fun or relaxing. He's telling me about life. He's telling me about God, telling me about Christ. It's almost like God was coming to find me. And said, boy, I just knew I needed God at that point. You're here today. There's three responses to God coming to find you. Jesus said it's like a shepherd going after a lost sheep. He picks up the sheep on his shoulders, goes home and says, hey, everybody, calls his friends and neighbors, be glad with me because I found the one. He'd be happy about you like that today. But there's three responses to Christ that all of us have at one time or another. You're going to have one of these responses. The first response is, no thanks, I don't need that. We've all said that. No thanks, I don't need that. Who needs God? I'm fine. We turn to God and basically say, hit the road, Jack. I mean, since He reached out to us, that's basically the message we have to tell Him. If we do that, we should know we're not the first person in the world who ever said that. Okay, like we have a chip on our shoulder toward the Lord or something. He understands if that's where we are with Him. But we should know if we turn away from Him, our life continues to have a lot of unanswered questions about the present, about the past, and about the future that only He can answer since we were wired for Him. The second response is, I really want God to come after me, but I have a lot of questions. I'm not sure. Tell me more about who Christ is. I want to know, is this for real or is this just, you know, some religious trip or is it like a tradition that people have churches in America, so let's do the church thing for a while? Or is Jesus a real person who came for me? Is He really the King of Kings? Ask Him that question and see what His response will be. Be open to Him. The third person is this. A person says, I need God to come and find me. I am ready for a change now. Remember, anytime you recognize a sin, it's an opportunity for forgiveness and a change of direction. I need Christ now, today. Okay, and I would easily pray a prayer to have Him be number one in my life, to get into that walk with Him, like I hear the Bible talks about. And if you're that person, I'd say follow in the footsteps of the story Jesus said, and following in the footsteps of a person who said one time they couldn't find God, so they said, Lord, come and find me. Lord, come and find me. And Christ will this morning. He'll say, I'll be your friend. I met some people at the neighbor day. That's good. And Christ introduced Himself to me at the neighbor day. He's my best neighbor. He's my Lord, my friend, the one who forgives me. He'll do that for you. And you're just somebody who would say, I need Christ. How do you get in like these Scotsmen, Englishmen, and Irish man? You admit your need. That's all. You admit your need, He will come. If you say no need, He'll be around your life when you have that need. We prayed the Lord's Prayer together. We prayed it out loud. That it was a good thing. I was going to pray with you out loud a prayer that represents saying, I need a change in my life. I turn to Christ and I turn from sin. That's the change God invites us to. And so these are the words, and we'll pray together shortly. You simply say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come and find me. I turn to you and I turn from sin. I will follow you with your help. Amen. That's a request God would honor. You know, if your neighbor came knocking on your door, you'd probably express something like that to them if you had a need, or maybe them to you. You could express something like that to Christ. And he'll be faithful. He'll be his faithful Savior and Lord. I will identify with the choir in saying this. There are a lot of things in the Bible that I know that are 100% true because I've experienced them, and the truth is greater than my experience. And there are also many things in the Bible that I need God's help to believe. Okay? But don't let that stop you from following Christ. If you're in that boat occasionally also, he will help you believe the things you have a hard time believing. He's faithful. He's loving. And I would like us all, if you're able to verbalize this just as a way of thanking God, and some of you will really mean it in your heart, and it'll be like a big change that God will bring about. Yeah, you can't bring it about, so that's a given. And if you pray sincerely, God will give you direction. He'll give you forgiveness and a future neighborhood, you might say, in heaven. Big neighborhood of welcome by him. So could you bow your heads and pray these phrases out loud with me? God leads you to say it sincerely. Do that. If you think it's a waste of time, don't pray. If you want to pray just to say, I'd like to feel this way, do that. But would you pray after me out loud? Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I need you. Come and find me. Come and find me. I turn to you and I turn from sin. I turn to you and I turn from sin. I will follow you with your help. Amen. Well, thank you. I appreciate your heart, your openness to Christ and his word. After we sing a final song, we're going to get some directions on how to proceed to the food and other times and get some shade for the ones in the sunshine. God bless you as you sing. This is a great song of asking for God's help to follow him as he's come and found us.